This is Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Today, the podcast is about political bigotry. So it seems like both parties of the House of Representatives and Congress have members that expose their bigotry and racism now in the past. Let's start with Steve King of the Republican Party. He is Iowa's 4th Congressional District Representative. The district is overwhelmingly white, but there are some voters of color living there. It's 93% white, 1.2% black, and 1.6% Asian. Mr. King, according to the New York Times, said, quote, "White nationalists, white supremacy, white Western civilization. How did that language become offensive?" End quote. He has been removed from his committee assignments rather than being fired. In the past, King has embraced white supremacy, and he has existed in his job due to the support of his constituents. So, while we stand by rights of states to elect whom they wish, if their officials in Congress support racism or homophobia, we object. So, Mr. King was denounced by some Republicans, but those same people have a checkered history. Representatives Phil Rowe of Tennessee and Andy Harris of Maryland met with Chuck Johnson, the white supremacist and anti-Semitic, according to aides to both members. Congressman Rowe said, quote, "He was not aware of this individual's viewpoints, nor were they discussed during their brief meeting," end quote. However, previous meetings and views of these officials cast clouds on this denial. King has said bigoted comments on migrants. For example, in 2013, he made the ridiculous claim that for every child of illegal immigrants, quote, "who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there who weigh 130 pounds, and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert," end quote. Once again, he was reprimanded by the then House Speaker, John Boehner, but King stood by his claim. This confers voter suspicions that certain members of the Republican Party, that it's the uncaring party, that it's the party of white America. They count on our shrugs and the short shelf life of our outrage. Tim Scott, the lone black Republican in the Senate, in a Washington Post op last week, said, quote, "I would venture that a great many Americans do not charge Republicans with racist deeds or actions because of what they say or what they don't say when something offensive comes to light. This is about what they do," end quote. Also remember that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who just last August warned Florida voters not to, quote, "monkey this up," end quote, when he found himself facing black Democrat Andrew Gillum, and failed to comment on the marked racial disparities throughout Miami-Dade County's criminal justice system. There are many wounds that too many Americans in power leave unaddressed. It is akin to the, quote, dream deferred, end quote, that Langston Hughes wrote of in his poem. We're seeing too many apologies delivered well after the fact and sanctions and slaps delivered too lightly on the wrists of people who remain in positions of power. We must recognize that the problem is systemic, not a collection of individual stories and grievances. Let's turn to the other party, the Democrats. Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii last week announced she was running for president. She apologized for her record of anti-gay rhetoric and her past work for anti-gay advocacy groups. Perhaps members of the Democratic Party are less reticent to change their position as they, quote, evolve. Ms. Gabbard has come under fire from LGBT advocates in the days since she announced her presidential ambitions, which drew renewed focus to her past work for the Alliance for Traditional Marriage. The group, which was run by her father, State Senator Mike Gabbard, fought against gay rights in Hawaii and helped pass an amendment to the state constitution that gave legislature the power to ban same-sex marriage. Ms. Gabbard said online, quote, "In my past, I said and believed things that were wrong and worse. They were very hurtful to people in the LGBTQ community and to their loved ones." Quote, "My views have changed significantly since then," she added, "and my record in Congress over the last 6 years reflects what's in my heart, a strong and ongoing commitment to fighting for LGBTQ rights." As a member of Congress, she has voted in favor of LGBT rights and received praise from the Human Rights Campaign and advocacy group. Advocates welcomed her apology but were underwhelmed. The question is, should we hope that people have lifelong values of equality and inclusion demonstrated over their lifetime as they seek and have ambitions to represent us? Ms. Gabbard alluded to her conservative upbringing and her father's work on Thursday in her video, but she did not go into detail about her own anti-gay advocacy as a young person. She is the youngest person ever elected to the Hawaii State Legislature. America now is more permissive of explicit racism than it's been at any point since the civil rights era. And because bigotries rarely dance alone, the president's nativism is accompanied by anti-black racism, first seen in his birther crusade against Barack Obama, anti-Muslim prejudice, and anti-Semitism. The current administration has demonized immigrants from Mexico and instituted a policy that Muslims should be banned from our country. They have indicated that certain members of the LGBTQ community should not serve in the military. Also, they have attempted to eliminate diversity visas for persons from Africa, Caribbean, and Central American countries after berating these countries. Enough is enough. Covert and open bigotry has no place in this country. Abraham Lincoln wrote, quote, "As a nation, we began by declaring that all men are created equal. We now practically read it, all men are created equal except Negroes." End quote. When the know-nothings get control, it will read all men are created equal except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics. End all quotes. Words to live by. This is Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. You can listen to this podcast where you look for them. And you can go to our website, nabwmt.org, to listen to more and look at our values and our activities in our chapters. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for listening.